This is a first for me. I've never actually published a podcast on Christmas Day. I recorded it earlier, but I know nobody was probably just anxiously waiting to get to your computer this morning to be able to hear what I had to say to you on Christmas. So take it as it is. We're going to spend Christmas with our oldest son and his family. We had hoped to have my brother-in-law, Skip, be able to join us. This will be his first Christmas without my sister. But he had previously made some plans, so we'll catch up with him another time. But this may be a difficult Christmas for you. The first in your life without someone special. Maybe a spouse, a parent, child, friend, whoever it may be. Or you may have someone in the hospital, or you may be there yourself. You may be dealing with some money problems. I know it's a hard time of year. Maybe you just couldn't really celebrate as you wanted to. So whatever your life looks like right now, I know that it's better with Jesus. And if you're going through a difficult time and you know Jesus as your Savior, you know that He makes those difficult times easier. Not easy, but easier. So think about people that are going through a similar situation with you and they don't have Jesus to rely on. You know, that situation is so much harder because they don't have the strength of Jesus Christ and brothers and sisters in Christ. So it may be for you as a believer, the message today, or maybe as a non-believer, but whatever it is, it's what the Lord's given me. So let's pray. Father, I just give you thanks that your word is new and fresh every day. Not just in the morning, it's fresh in the afternoon or in the evening. But Lord, you're always there for us. And we just praise you for that. So Lord, as we celebrate Christ's birth today, Lord, let us not forget what the day is all about. That it is about Jesus Christ. That it's not about anything else or anyone else. It's only about Him. So, Lord, just take the message that you've given me and just take it to those that need to hear it. And, Lord, just open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and maybe our mouths and be able to accept what you have been given. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I don't know about you, but I have been bombarded with emails from Amazon, Costco, BJ's, Walmart, Groupon, HP, you know, any site that I have, you know, I get emails from that is in connection with selling something. You know, even today, you know, it's not too late. You know, you can still come to Walmart. You can still come to this store or that store. The hours are winding down as I'm doing this on Christmas Eve in the afternoon. But, you know, even restaurants and fast food places, you know, buy a $50 gift card and you get a $10 gift card free, you know, all these last minute deals, you know, and we, of course, have just exactly what you've been looking for. So I delete them all because I have all the stuff that I need. You know, we're not buying for our kids, for our grandkids. You know, our gift to them is the time that we get to spend with them. And I hope that they think that that's a good enough gift. But every place thinks that they have the perfect gift for you to give to the ones that you love. Well, they don't know me, and they don't know my family, so they don't know what we want or what we need, so how can they have the perfect gift to give to somebody that they know absolutely nothing about? You know, they just try to get you hooked on whatever is the latest fad. And I don't know or care what the latest thing is. Because if I buy the latest thing today in January, it's going to be outdated. It'll be obsolete. There'll be a newer one, a bigger one, a faster one, a better looking one, whatever it might be. So when you need to buy the newest new thing because the old new thing just doesn't cut it anymore. I think, or I know, that we have lost sight of what really matters. what is really important and what really lasts. You know, there's a YouTube video that's been floating around for the last few years. It's from the Southland Christian Church, and it's a kids telling the Christmas story, but it's the adults that act this story out. And, you know, as the kids are telling this story, they have the wise men coming, which is wrong, but they have the wise men coming, and they're bringing gifts. And the gifts that the kids have them bring, it's not gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's diapers and wipes and milk and a purple hippo and a pair of Jordans. Because those are the things that kids see that they would be needed. You know, you got to have the diapers and the wipes for your newborn baby. And things that the kids like themselves. And that's kind of what we do. You know, I remember growing up and most of my presents were socks and underwear and clothes and, you know, whatever. And, you know, in my stocking, we got an orange and pencils or pens or stuff like that. Boring stuff. Nothing that I really wanted, just things that I needed, but I didn't really want them, even though I needed them. So I have to hand it to the wise men. They did a better job of gifting. Okay, they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So I want to take a look at those gifts. Now, gold, you know, we know that that's expensive. It's expensive now, over $1,200 an ounce when I looked the other day. And, you know, I could maybe scrape together enough to give an ounce of gold to someone. But the pictures that we see of the wise men, which, you know, is pretty fictional, but, you know, they're bringing like a brick of gold. And in today's economy, that brick of gold would be about $325,000. Okay, no cheap gift. And in Jesus' day, it may have been even more valuable. You know, we read about the building of the temple and the thousands of pounds of gold that was gathered together and all. And so, you know, this was a great gift to give a newborn baby. You know, I mean, Jesus could put that in his IRA. But we read about gold often in the Bible. You know, it was used to make idols. You know, again, the building of the temple, you know, it talks about all of the gold lampstands and bowls and everything else. So we need to look at what the gold really symbolizes, and it symbolizes the deity of Christ. Okay? So let's move on to the frankincense. Okay, not something that you shop for every day. So maybe a little more so now with the essential oil business out there. And so I didn't really know where frankincense came from, but it's taken from the sap of trees that grow like in Yemen and Somalia, areas where the wise men maybe had come from. Okay, so oil goes for about $85 for a 15 milliliter bottle, which is about a half an ounce. So why frankincense? I mean, what would be the reason for giving that gift? Well, frankincense was and still in some religions used in many religious rituals, like anointing the dead. Okay, so they were 33 years or so early with that, but, you know, it was also burnt by the priests as incense. So the frankincense, the reason behind that is it symbolizes Jesus's priesthood. And then the last gift is myrrh. Okay, another expensive gift, not as expensive as the frankincense. That's only $50 for a 15 ml bottle. But its sources are similar to the frankincense. It comes from a gum-like tree resin. And in the Bible, it's used as incense or perfume, as an embalming fluid because it had a strong fragrance to it. And so it would mask the stench of a dying body, a decaying body. And so it was associated with suffering and death. So when Jesus was on the cross in Mark 15:23, it says, then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. Okay, because the myrrh was something that was used to help deaden the pain. Well, why did Jesus refuse the painkiller? I mean, he obviously would have been in great pain, all that he had been through, I mean, before he got on the cross, but then being nailed to the cross and just the process of the crucifixion. But he didn't take it because he needed to experience the worst that there was in that death. And he did that for you and me. It wasn't something that he had to do for himself. And then we read too that Nicodemus brought myrrh for Jesus' burial in John 19:39. Well, the gift of myrrh symbolizes the suffering and death that Jesus would be facing. So my point of sharing this with you is the gold, frankincense, and myrrh were probably the most prized gifts of the time and were some of the most expensive, if not the most expensive gifts at that time. I read one place where it said that the frankincense at that time may have been even more costly than the gold. Okay? So the wise men gave the very best that there was to give. There was nothing that was more expensive, but there's more to it than that. And I believe that, you know, the wise men didn't come up with their gifts on their own, that, you know, the Lord put it on their hearts that these were the things you were supposed to take. You know, they maybe wanted to take, you know, diapers and baby wipes and a purple hippo. But God said, no, this is what you need to take to my son. So more importantly than the expense of the gifts was the fact that the three gifts pointed to who Jesus is and what he would endure. And they were pretty good at gifting. Or, like I said, probably God led them to what he knew that needed to be given for his son. Well, back when we did a lot of gift giving, I tried anyways to get a gift that would fit the person. You know, when we would draw names, you know, depending on who it was, you try and figure out what their likes were. And, I wasn't one to run out on Christmas Eve day and go to Walmart and grab a bunch of the gift baskets that they throw together. But when all three of our, or four of our kids were growing up, our three sons and our daughter, I'd bought them a toolbox, each one. And for their birthdays and Christmas, I would get them a tool. And so as they were growing up, they thought that was rather boring, except for Aaron. He was into that. But they've all, except for our one son, put them to use. I think our daughter kind of lost hers along the way someplace. But it was gifts that I knew that they could use, okay, gifts that were practical, maybe not at the moment, but sometime down the road for them. But if we want to look at the best gift giver ever, we have to look at God, okay? Because we're told this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then from the Message, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have whole and lasting life. You know, talk about giving the very best gift that could be given. A gift that nobody else could give. Okay, there's only one Savior, one Messiah, and it had to come from God, and he gave it to us. And it's just exactly what was needed, because we can't save ourselves. Okay, some people think that they can work hard enough or do the right works. Some people, I probably think they can buy it, or some people think, you know, just because, you know, they're not a murderer or a child abuser or whatever it might be, they think they're good enough, you know, just because they're not so bad that, you know, they must be good enough to be able to get into heaven. Well, you know, Scripture doesn't tell us that, okay? And what God gave us in His Son, Jesus Christ, is one size fits all. Okay, I remember you used to see clothes that would say that, one size fits all, but then there's some really big people out there, and so they started changing that to one size fits most. Well, the gift that God gave us in Jesus Christ is one size fits all. And God loves to give us gifts. And with giving us His Son, man, He outdid Himself. So I want to give you a verse where Luke quotes Paul quoting Jesus. Okay, and this is in Acts 20, verses 34 and 35, taken from the NIV. And Paul says, "You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus Himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Now, I believe that Paul said that, and I believe that he was quoting Jesus as having said that. But that quote of Jesus is not found in the Gospels. It's not even found in the Apocrypha. Okay, it actually comes from 1 Clement chapter 46, verse 7. Okay, a book that was possibly written by Pope Clement. Okay, now none of that really matters because Paul and Luke thought it needed to be heard, and Jesus was telling it like it is. Okay, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Okay, because not only did God give His Son gave Himself. So who better to talk about giving? Because Jesus Christ gave. He gave us the example that we need on how to live our lives. Okay, that's one thing that I try to stress, and I think people miss. You know, I mean, sure, you know, He was born on what we call Christmas, and He died on the cross, and He was raised from the dead, and He's coming back, and that's all true. But in those 3 years that He was walking on the earth and teaching, and you know, he set the example that we need. Okay, he set the example in serving. Okay, He was ready to serve anybody. You know, He was there for the lepers, for the prostitutes, for the tax collectors. You know, He didn't say, you know, I'm just going to serve these people, you know, because they're like me. You know, He was ready to serve anyone that needed to be served. And that's the example that I need, we need, on how I should be living my life. He set the example in teaching. You know, He took every opportunity that there was. And when He started teaching, you know, there were hundreds, you know, thousands of people that were there listening to Him. And He set the example in loving. You know, again, you know, He didn't just love those that were like Him in any way. You know, His love was there for anyone. And He set the example in giving, okay? He gave His life. He set the example in healing. You know, He said, you know, you've seen the things I've done. You're going to do even greater things than what I've done. You know, and He gave sight to the blind and healed the lame, rose people from the dead. And He says, you know, this is the example that I'm giving you. And He set the example in going. You know, Jesus never went very far in His life. But, you know, He didn't set up a church in Jerusalem or Nazareth or any place else and say, okay, this is where I'm going to be, and people need to come if they want to hear me, which would be even more difficult in that time for people to get there on Sunday morning to listen to a message. No, he went from place to place. You know, we keep hearing, you know, he was here and then he went there and was teaching and healing. And so he set the example too in facing all the temptations that there were in his day and never sinning. Most of us face a lot of temptations every day, you know, different kinds. You know, there's some temptations that we face day after day after day. You know, just that same temptation just in your face all the time. And there's some that just kind of come around every once in a while. But Jesus faced all of those temptations in his day, and he never sinned. And so, you know, what a great example that there is. So after all of that, living that faultless life of serving and teaching and healing and giving, you know, he gave it all up. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, Jesus was being arrested, okay? And it tells us in Matthew 26:53, this was after Peter had lopped off the ear of one of the people that were coming to arrest Jesus. And Jesus said, "Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" That would be like 72,000 angels. Okay? Jesus could call that down and just kind of wipe out anybody that was against him. But no, he didn't do that. He didn't want to do that. He didn't come to do that. Jesus gave up his life for you and me. He learned well from his Father how to give the best gifts. I want to share the chorus of a song that we sang in a cantata many years ago. I had all the words, but all I have is a chorus now. But the name of the song is "He Gave the Greatest Gift of All." And it says, "He gave the greatest gift of all when he gave Jesus. He sent the greatest gift of love wrapped in his Son. He brought us hope when we had nothing left to hope for. At last, the long-awaited promise, the gift the world is waiting for, had come." So true, isn't it? You know, just when we feel we have no hope, Jesus is there to give us the hope that we didn't believe that we really had. You know, the world had been waiting for the Messiah for hundreds of years, waiting for salvation, waiting for the way to the Father. And that's just what Jesus told us that he is. He says, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And you're not going to get to the Father anyway except through me." Let me share a poem with you called "The Call of Christmas." "Wonder of all wonders, outside of Bethlehem, angels come to shepherds, ordinary working men. Not the high and mighty, the powerful and great, but those who feel unwanted, that the world has pushed away. Hear the call of Christmas, all you lost and left behind, the lowly and those longing with an emptiness inside, the forgotten and forsaken, I bring you good news. Hear the call of Christmas, the Savior waits for you. All who feel rejected, unwanted, and alone, we're all undeserving of the kindness we've been shown. Come behold the King of Kings, find rest, you weary souls. Lay down all your burdens, he will mend you, make you whole. For all those in need, come find your hope and peace. Oh, do not be afraid, he has come to save. Hear the call of Christmas, the Savior waits for you. Hear the call of Christmas, the Savior waits for you." And many of us that know the Savior, you know, we still have a problem sometimes reaching out to him, knowing that he's got the answers. You know, he's got the strength that we need to get through whatever the situation is that we're in life, and that he's just waiting for us to come to him. You know, he's not going to be pushy and throw himself in the middle of our situation. You know, he wants us to come to him and say, "Okay, I've tried my ways, I blew it, doesn't work. I need your ways, Lord." And so He's just waiting for that opportunity to come and to give us the strength and the help that we need. And we know that. We know that we don't need to wait until things get totally out of control or when they seem totally helpless. We know that we can come to the Lord, you know, at the beginning of a situation, and that He's going to be there for us, and He's going to lead us to the scriptures that we need. He's going to lead us to the people that maybe can help us, some people that can just kind of go through that situation with us. He can give us those people, and we know that. But sometimes we just kind of forget it until it seems like too late, or it becomes, you know, the last thing. You know, well, I've tried everything else, you know, maybe I'll pray. No, it should be, I need to pray before I try anything else. And we forget that. So let me just take a moment to pray with those of you that are kind of struggling with that maybe right now. Just, Father, we give You thanks for the help that You give us through Your Holy Spirit, that You give us that strength that we need when we need it. And, Lord, You give us that strength we need when we call out for it. That, you know, Your Word tells us that You don't lead us to any temptation, that You don't give us an opportunity or a way to be able to overcome that. And, Father, sometimes we choose that, and sometimes we just keep on falling. So, Father, help us to know that we need to look to You and to see that strength every day and to reach out for that strength every time. And that, Lord, when we're going through a difficult situation, Lord, help us to come to You first, to turn it over to You, Lord, whether it's an illness, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a financial thing, or an emotional thing, whatever it might be, Lord, You want to be there first thing. You want to be the first priority that we have, not the last ditch effort. So, Father, help us that know that, to continue to know it, you know, and to reach out every time. And, Lord, we'll see how much easier and how much better life can be if we do that. And, Father, I lift up those two that maybe don't know You, that, Lord, somehow they maybe stumbled onto this podcast today, and, Lord, maybe some part of it made sense to them. And that, Lord, they've been searching, they've been reaching out and trying to get answers to life. And so, Lord, I just pray that You'll help them to know that that You are the answer that they've been looking for. You know, maybe they've been trying a lot of other things, but, Lord, they need to start with You. And so, Father, they probably don't know how to do that. Lord, they know they've heard the story of Christmas and what Christmas is really about, that it's not about the gifts and all that stuff, that it's really about the gift, Your Son, Jesus Christ. And they've heard that. So, Father, let them know that that's true, that what the Scriptures tell us is true, that Your Son, Jesus Christ, was born of the Virgin Mary. Doesn't make any sense, but, Lord, Your Word tells us that, and we know it's true. So, Lord, let them believe that. And then, Lord, let them read through the Scriptures and, Lord, see how Jesus lived His life and how He was there to love and to serve and to be there for people that needed Him. And, Lord, let them know that He'll be there for them when they need Him as well. And then, Father, they need to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins. Okay, maybe they've heard that He died for sin, but, Lord, they need to know that Jesus died for their sins. That, again, it doesn't make any sense because He died 2,000 years ago. And, you know, we wonder how that can be. Lord, I don't know how it can be. I just know that Your Word tells me it's true. And so, Lord, they need to admit that they've been a sinner and turn their life over to Jesus. And to know that Jesus, even though He died, that He rose from the dead and that He's coming back again. And that we need to be ready, that there's nothing else that we need to do but to accept Your Son and to be ready for Him to come back, because who knows when it may be? Only You, Father. And so, Lord, let people know that they need to reach out for Your Son and to be ready to accept what He's got for them, and that's eternal life with You. And there's only one way to get it. Like I said, Jesus said He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. Father, let them desire that gift. In Jesus' name, amen.